today we've been speaking on the old wineskin changing to new wineskins, and today we'll be speaking in the 10th of the series. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Here it says that you are dead. You have died. When Adam sinned and was driven out from the Garden of Eden, then the life is dead. Because God said that if you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of evil and good, you will die. And there will be no hope, do not know God, even though they can invent and many things and discover many things, and then his cleverness and then the discover industries and the build up industries, but then man is dead because his relationship with God is severed. When Adam was driven out from the Garden of Eden, God prepared for us a salvation. His Son came to save us from our pitiful and dead life, to save us so that we come before Him, to have fellowship with Him, and to enjoy His life. Because when Adam sinned, God said that if you eat, then you would die. And there's no life in the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. So God once again give us another chance to gain this life, to enjoy His life. So when we will receive that Jesus, those of us who have received Jesus, our life, our fleshly life, the old life has been nailed to the cross, has been buried with Christ. And when Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, so do we. And when Jesus was lifted up to heaven, because we are in Christ, we have been bought with a price with Jesus. So we too sit in the heavenly realms with Jesus. And we also reign with Him. And reign in our lives. And no longer a pitiful and a poor life, but rather one who reigns in the life. And this is the wonderful salvation God has prepared for us. Here it says that you have died, and also there's a new life, and there's a new life. What is this new life? This Jesus life living in us. It is the life of the heavenly kingdom has been planted in us. And this life has been hidden in Christ, in God. This is our true life today. This is the true realm. And it is saying that that this life is dead. Our fleshly life is dead. But on the other hand, we feed it. We sympathize with it, that we may have live a better life, that we be more beautiful. But God's told us that we are already dead. So whenever we acknowledge that we are truly dead, then the life of the Spirit can be resurrected. Then the life of the Son of God can grow and grow. But when Christians, when they first became Christians, we're still in the mold of the old wineskin. We're always thinking like how we can beautify our old life, or to live more years, or we decorate it to be more beautiful. And so some make an operation to have double lids, or that they may have a better chin. So you spend a lot of money to do this, and then bear a lot of pain for this, and also, and there are many side effects. Several years ago, when I was in Los Angeles, I knew of a movie star, and she came to a meeting. And then when you look at her, it seems like she's not natural, because she had a plastic surgery on her nose. And when you grow old, and it will look very strange. This is telling us that, and when men spend a lot of time and money and then bear the pain and is willing for this life that's going to be dead to be beautified for a little while or only be beautiful for just a few years. But what God wants and what God tells us is that you're already dead. And so now what you need to do now is to spend all your labor energies to invest in this new life. And what is this life? It's Christ is our life. And then when this is the life of the Son of God in us, and this life must grow and grow in us. And he said that we are living in this realm. And so the Pharisees did not understand this. In the Old Testament, God through the prophets have prophesied that there would be a coming Messiah. And so the Pharisees hope that when this Messiah comes, it would overthrow the Roman government and would establish a Jewish nation and Jewish government, and we would no longer be ruled by others. And that is what they're hoping, that the Messiah would come and establish an earthly kingdom. And this is the old wineskin. And he came as a Messiah, and he's hoping for the Messiah to come, but using his old wineskin to do the things what they want to do on this earth. This is their old wineskin. But Son of God comes, what he wants to come is much more and greater than the hope of the Pharisees. When they thought that when they overthrow the Roman government, then we will be a free country, and then we can rule ourselves. But God knows that this will not bring a joy and the satisfaction. So God came to bring a new life to the earth. So I thought that when we are in Taiwan, we were under the rule of the Japanese in Taiwan for many years. And then the Chinese government came, and we are so happy, and never thought that they discovered that the new government and more strict than the Japanese government. And then the new government have killed and murdered many intellectuals of in Taiwan. And then because these are the guys who would cause trouble, and so they killed these intellectuals and troublemakers. I'm not saying that the national government is not good and that the Taiwanese are good. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is that we thought that the current government that's ruling over us, if we overthrow that, then I would be free and that I would be happy. No, that may not be the case. So at that time, many Taiwanese people were living in fear. And then later on, the times changed, and at that time the Taiwanese need to learn to speak in Mandarin. And then now the times have changed, and today if you're in Taiwan, you get into the taxi, and if you don't know how to speak Taiwanese, if you do not speak Taiwanese, the taxi driver would scold you all the way to your destination. So the winds and the rains of the earth cannot bring us true joy. And it's not possible, because the sinners are sinners. Whether it is a nationalist government, whether it is a communist, or whether it is a Taiwanese, we're all sinners. We all need the salvation of God. wherever there are sinners, there will be discord and dissent, and there will be no true peace and joy. So this Son of God, He came. He is to bring us the heavenly blessing, the heavenly freedom, the heavenly love, to bring it onto us. The Pharisees do not understand it. So they thought that it's just to establish the earthly kingdom. No, the Messiah comes is not to remove an earthly government, but rather He wants to remove our earthly, our life. The kingship that's within us, He wants to remove that power from us, and He wants to give us the freedom, the love, the light that's filled with love and peace. He wants to give us that. This is what God wants us to know today, that we have died, and that today we have a new life, and this is the new wineskin. And with God and with Christ are hidden in God. This is new. So, brothers and sisters, we need to identify and acknowledge the words of God that we have died, that we are dead. And when I'm dead, what do I do? And I need to hide in God, with Christ. Hide in God. This is a new and real realm. This meaning is that we need to enter into the life of the Spirit. We need to depart and get rid of the value systems of the world, the thinking and the views of the earth. If we truly have been resurrected with Christ, then we would ask and seek the things from above. What are the things from above? Is the things above has the and there is real estate there? No. There is the kingship of Christ. Is in the things above, are there stocks? No. There is the glory of Christ. If I've been resurrected with Christ, I am in Christ. I have a new identity. I do not have the identity of a beggar, because the descendants of Adam are like beggars. Inside of them, there is a discord, there's jealous, there's selfishness. And then you need to toil and labor, and then compete for affirmation, compete for love, and then compete so that we can eat, to compete so that we can give and win others with our opinions. So we're always competing and comparing against others. But God today, what He's given us, the life He's given us, is the life of a prince and a princess. It's a very rich, and it's truly rich. And then it's unlimited. You don't need to fight, and you don't need to quarrel to win things. And so we need to understand. When we Christians, we have the Son's life entering to us. And I can, in my life, I can reign, but I do not know this life. I do not know that the Christ is the truth of the life of Christ in me. And I'm still spending time and trying to protect the life of the Adam. I'm afraid that others would hurt me. And then to teach, to protect, and to educate it so that it may have more respectability. This is a poor and a pitiful life. And that if we know how much we have died and how much I have decreased, that Christ is then that way, then how much Christ's life can grow in me. Why? Because the life of Adam is oppresses the life of God in us. That's why God says that our flesh is opposes, is the enemy of the life of God. If we emphasize the life of our flesh, then we are the enemy of God, because it oppresses the life of God. That's why Jesus said, those who love themselves, they would lose their life. The more you love it, the more Adamic life you love, then you will lose this life, and will lose your life. And He says that, and those who hate their life, they will receive life. they will gain life. When they hate this life, you will not empathize it, this life. You will not satisfy its desires and its requirements. For example, we come to the morning devotions. This is the old Adamic life likes to continue sleeping. And then now I do not want to satisfy its desires, so I need to come before God and come to the church. Same with fasting and praying. And then you are eating manna. So this spiritual life is eating and growing. And then the fleshly life with the you do not feed it, so it becomes weaker and weaker. And then when you're praying and fasting, then you are eating the manna of heaven. I give you an example. We have a brother among us. And one time, we prayed for him. And then we saw a vision. We saw a vision. He is in front of the computer monitor. And then with hit the key, and then he would and hit, and then you would hit, and then we hit another balloon, and they hit another balloon, and then another beside him, and there are two of them, and then the one sitting beside him is very thin, it's very weak, and it's dried up and withered, and then hungry, and very thin, and whatever he, this thin one would want to eat a piece of bread, and the other one would take it away from him. And then would always playing and playing, hitting the balloon, and then hit the, and then 100% gain the gain. And it was very clear that one of them is the old man. And the old man, he's very good with the computer, and so he's spending a lot of his time before the computer, very happy. But then, the life of the Son of God is oppressed, and then did not eat manna, did not eat spiritual food, so it's very thin and very hungry, and whatever they want to eat, the other one will take it away from him. This is speaking as our old man in charge, the old, the new man. The life of the Son of God is very thin and pitiful and so sad. I thank the Lord that this brother knew his condition. And when this vision was explained to him, and he said that it's very accurate, he threw himself is like that, because he does not have morning devotions, does not read the Bible, and does not pray, only come to the Sunday worship. Therefore, his spiritual life is very thin. And he confessed. When he confessed, he had his... started to have morning devotions and pray and read his Bible and seek the Lord, and he's changed. This tells us that we need to know our old wineskin needs to be getting rid of. It's dead. You need a new wineskin to contain the new life of God. Also, this new realm, if we have been resurrected with Christ and our lives are hidden with Christ in God, this is a new real realm. It is a heavenly realm. God wants us to live in this heavenly realm, in this kind of life, this type of realm. And then it's one that brings joy to us. Let's see the apostles in the Acts of Apostles. You know, Philip. And when he, after he finished preaching the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch, the Holy Spirit transported him to a different, another place. Brothers and sisters, if you are living in the Holy Spirit today, anything is possible. When you're living in the Holy Spirit today, you have resurrected with Christ. This realm, this heavenly realm, is very real. It's very real. But then in our peanut brain on this heavenly, on this earthly earth, we cannot understand it, because whatever we think, where we see and what we touch, that is reality to it. But in the Acts of Apostles, Peter was locked up in the prison. The next day he was to be executed. That means that this is hopeless situation. But yet Peter was at peace. He was sleeping. He was not sad or he was worried, because he has been resurrected with Christ and sitting in the heavenly realms with Christ. And when the church was praying for him, in the spirit realm, a great thing happened. The angels came, and then his chains were broken off. And then these chains and fetters fell off, and this the prison doors were open, and he walked through them. And he went to the house of Mark. Brothers and sisters, we have received the Lord today. We are living in the spirit realm. These things also can happen. And you say that happened 2,000 years ago in the times of the Acts of the Apostles. And we live in the modern times. And modern times don't have these things happening. Yes, these things do happen. And Mueller, one time he went to preach in a certain place, and then it was very foggy, and it was very thick fog. So he said to the ship captain, "On Saturday, I need to reach the city." And then the captain said to him, "You are strange. The fog is so thick. It's not possible you reach there by Saturday." And Mueller said, "I don't care about the fog or not. I need to go there and I will be there. Because over 10 years, God has never kept me from going to a certain place. God is faithful. And He would always be faithful and I will be there." And so he knelt down and prayed. He only said a very simple prayer, "Abba Father, You know that I need to be there by Saturday. Help me to be there." A very simple prayer he made to God. And in Jesus' name, he prayed that prayer. And then the ship captain, and they saw that he was very devoted and wanted to kneel down to pray. And Mueller said that, "Do not pray." He said, "First, you do not have faith. And therefore, when you pray, God will not answer you. And secondly, God has answered my prayer. He has heard my prayer. So you do not need to pray." And so they went up to the deck, and they saw that the fog started to dissipate. And so on time on Saturday, he reached his destination. And God can do this. When we are in the Holy Spirit, our life are hidden with Christ in God, is such a great thing. Brothers and sisters, you have this identity. You have this position. You are no longer a beggar, a pitiful person. Your life has been hidden with Christ in God. When your life has been hidden with Christ in God, all kinds of miracles can happen. And you said that, "Oh, that's the time of Mueller, and that's many years ago." And today we live in the scientific time, the modern times. Yes, in today's time, such things can happen also. We have a servant of God, and when he was driving on the freeway, and he was to preach in a certain place to attend a meeting, and then there was traffic. On the freeway, there was traffic. So he saw that it would be another hour or two before he reached that place. So he would be late for 1 or 2 hours. So he prayed to the Lord. In seconds, God lifted his car. And in a couple of seconds, he reached his destination. Went to the meeting place. He and his car were transported to the meeting place. So brothers and sisters, this is a real realm. It is the real realm. So we need to renew our thinking and no longer thinking of the old wineskin. Everything that we think we believe are things we can touch and we can see. And he said, no, if you have been resurrected with Christ, your life has been hidden in Christ. And Christ is your life. When Christ is your life, anything can happen. Do you know that? It depends on whether you believe or not. And when you believe and you pray, you will experience it. Like several years ago, like myself, one day I was reading and it started to become hazy. And no matter how I blink, my eyes is still hazy. And I thought that I must be getting old. I must be, maybe I have a nearsightedness or farsightedness. I cannot read things very near. So I rebuked this farsightedness. And so I rebuked this farsightedness in me. And then I rebuked it after a period of time. Then my eyes can see it, read up close. And the second day, and I have this haziness in my reading, and I cleared it. So I rebuked many times. The second day came, I rebuked it again. I do not want to accept this. So for a period of time, I did this. I know that I will not have farsightedness. And then today I'm close to 49 years old. I do not wear glasses. I do not need bifocals. So that gives me a new understanding and learning. When my eyes started to go hazy, my thoughts were that, oh, this is farsightedness. And so my thoughts, in my thinking, I acknowledge it. And so that problem would stick to me. I would discover this is what the enemy. He would shoot arrows. He would shoot arrows and see wherever there's a gap and wherever there is a weakness. Oh, my father has this disease, so therefore I would also have this disease. And then my family, several of my families, they have this kind of illness, and therefore they would live in fear the whole life. And then the illness would truly come. Whatever you fear would come upon you. And the many illnesses and diseases. And that time I did spiritual warfare, my learnings is that many illnesses, the enemy would attack my thoughts. And if my thoughts accept them and acknowledge it, yes, then it's, I was there with this person several days ago, and therefore I was contagious and I got it. And therefore I acknowledge, and therefore you accept it and receive it. But if you are alert, and if you start rebuking it and reject it, then it may come back again. But if it still comes back again, if you keep opposing it and rebuking it, then the illness would leave you. But many times we are not alert. We do not care. And then if we are hazy, we are hazy. And then if it's a fever, we have a fever. If it's painful, we have painful. And then that thing will stick to you. Brothers and sisters, Christ is our life. What does that mean? This is miraculous healing. This is the greatest truth. This is at this point. When people think of miraculous healing, is it because you don't need to see the doctor or take medicine? No, it's okay. You are free. You can see the doctor and take the medicine. But the healing of God is not that. The most important thing is not the most important thing is not just that we receive physical healing, but that is just the pessimistic side. But then the optimistic side, the positive side is that Christ is my life, that He lives in me. And Rick Joyner said one time he had a good friend. He has not seen his friend for a period of time. So a long period they did not meet. So one time they met each other and discovered that he is younger than before. And they have such good health. And this good friend before was always sickly. And they had the bad health. And then seemed very old and withered. And later on he asked him, what happened to you? How come you're young now and so healthy now? And before he was very sick. And this friend said to him, because every day I spent a long time locked up with God together. Christ is our life. Lock up yourself with Him, to draw near to Him, to draw life from Him. Then He will change you, and then Christ will become His life. So this is not when we are sick, then we go seek the doctor or to seek Jesus. But rather, daily, Christ becomes your life. Why do I go to conferences in other states? And then I would ask brothers and sisters not to see doctor or just listen to the tapes. I said, do not advise people just like that. I always say to our brothers and sisters, miraculous healing is the healing of God. You need to lean on God by yourself, but you do not make demands on others. Because a person who has have cancer, and you would say that the spirit, you can listen to spiritual warfare, tapes 5 and 6, and do not see the doctor. He or she has such a serious illnesses, and then their faith may not such grow up so quickly. He needs, in the daily life, they need to acknowledge that they have been crucified with Christ, that they are dead, that they have been resurrected with Christ. And that if they only empathize and sympathize with their own life, and they need to sleep, they will sleep. If need to lay down, they will lay down. If need to throw a temper tantrum, they will throw. If they need to worry, they will worry. In the ordinary daily life, they did not learn to lean on God. All of a sudden, you have cancer and you want to lean on God. It's not possible. So, do not casually advise other people that you said you should not see the doctor and pray. Because faith cannot be loaned to others. They themselves need to learn to trust on God. So, in our daily lives, we need to get rid of this old wineskin and gain the new wineskin. That is, Christ is my life. All the things that Christ speaks renews my thoughts and my concepts and perceptions. We have a sister. She has her elder sister came and visited her and spent several days with her. And then on the day she was to leave, because that day she was very tired, she wanted to rest for take a nap for a while. And then after half an hour, when she awoke, she discovered that her sister has gone and the husband has left. And it's very clear that the husband took her sister to the airport. And the first thought that came to her mind, why didn't you guys call me? And my sister did not call me, and neither my husband wake me up. And then immediately she renewed her thinking. And then they love me so much that they are not willing to wake me up so that I can sleep some more. So this is, if you do not understand your heavenly thoughts, we always blame others. How come you don't call me or wake me up? But immediately she renewed her thoughts and said that. And then this thought that's hidden with Christ in God. Yes, they empathize me. They know my weakness. Let me sleep some more. And then, you know, before she would be mad at her and get angry for a long time. And then later on she called her husband through the cell phone, and her husband said that, oh, your sister just went on the plane. And then I did not have time to say goodbye to her. And then her husband said to her, it's not important. And she said, he said that before, I would say to him, to you it's not important, but to me it's very important. And now when her husband said that it's not important, she immediately agreed with her husband, yes, it's not that important. If we have been dead, if we know that we are dead, all these earthly things are not important anymore. But if we... And we pay attention to our earthly, this physical life, and then we want to live in a more, and have more respectability, and have more beauty, then you will have suffering. So we must acknowledge, identify that we are dead. And these things are not important, it's not so big deal. This is wisdom. This is truly wisdom. And let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse 3. Whoever is wise and understanding among you, verse 13, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility and constant wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, a race of harvests of righteousness. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, first of all pure, that is pure, that means that it has no self. Doesn't mean that you know all of it. The purity speaks of inside. We have the old Adamic life pollutes us. Why? Because the life of Adam is the life of the flesh. And then the manifestations of the flesh is recorded in Galatians. It is a dissent, discord, lie, debauchery, and drunkenness. So this old life of Adam, this old life, old nature, causes us to be impure. And all the thoughts that's from us is impure. It's all selfish. It's pride. And all of them are dissension and discord. So the wisdom from above, when we too live in this Adamic life and not willing to let it die, then we do not have wisdom. Often do not have wisdom. But if we live in Christ, and we live in Christ, we have wisdom. And this wisdom is pure, is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This is the wisdom from above. When we speak of disciplining our children, I feel that many times we can teach many principles and methods, but the most important thing is that parents need the wisdom from above. That's the most important thing. Otherwise, if I speak to you this point, and it's just this point or that point, but other points, and you are just hurting your and harming your children, because in the other areas your old flesh is still manifested out, and they, when they speak the old flesh, it hurts your children and it will bring selfishness and jealousy. I know a sister, and she has a strong old self. And then her child is already in the teenager, and through the growth and the raising of this child, she hurt the child a lot, even though she loved the child very much, because of her old self. And then among us, she became a Christian, and among us, and was filled by the Holy Spirit, and very sincere in her listening to the tapes, whether it's the humility series and or obedience series. And so she practiced to learn to be humble and then to obey. And I discovered that she is very wise today. And during her learning process, and then she wanted to speak a word, and then the Holy Spirit would blank her mind and to discipline her, and she would stop. And then later on, slowly, she wait upon the Lord and often confess of her sins, and today she is full of wisdom. When I see how she speak to a child and then also to her husband, I'm surprised at her wisdom. The more we are humble, and we do not feed this old self, then we would have wisdom. If we are humble, we would have wisdom. When we are humble, we come down from the throne in our heart and let Christ sit on our throne. Then that's wisdom. And wisdom is also knowing what is the big thing and what is the little thing, what is important and what is not important. And those who are not wise, the little things to them are big deals to them, and they cannot overcome it. And then the big and important matters, they do not know how to deal with it. So here is telling us that we need, and he says that if we are truly resurrected with Christ, we need to seek the things from above and think of the things from above, not the things of the earth. And when we think of the things of above, we think of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, and then the passion of Jesus for me, and His will towards me, His heart's desire for me. He came to the world, Word becoming flesh. He died on the cross so that to restore my position, restore my princely position, to restore the princess position I have before Him. And before the eyes of God, I am beautiful, I am lovely. And then the way we walk would be different. And the things of the world, we will not be picky about them anymore. So if we think of the things, the unlimitless power of life of the Son of God, and if this powerful life is upon me and covering me, and then the life that is in Christ that causes Him to rise from the dead, then if that life is on me, and if you think of that, then your body becomes healthier and healthier. And your body will become stronger and healthier. I know several sisters who are very weak physically. They cannot eat this or cannot eat that. And they are painful here and problems in the other areas of their bodies. And I discovered that the words that God speaks to them are, you do not have lived such a pitiful life, such a suffering life. And the way you are this way is because of your sin. And your sin, I have bore your sin on the cross. I have bore your sin. So you do not live such a life. And the why, since God has bore our sins, why do we still live this way? Because we are still thinking of the things on earth. And we are dead, but we're willing to die. And we always think that you offended me, you do not honor me. And this particular point, I cannot stand it. And this, we need to die. But yet, we're always thinking of its feeling, always paying attention to how it feels and how it sees things. And therefore, we are attacked by the enemy, and therefore we become very weak. And if we do not think of the things of the world and think more of the things of heaven, and you discover that the Christ is truly your life. He is my life. And what is the life of Christ, you ask? In the 2 Corinthians, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians. And then that light. He says that the glorious light of God has let it shine out of darkness. And where does it shine? It shines in our hearts and give us light in the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this light would reflect upon us. And then we would reflect this light. And what is this light? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 and 24. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And the verse 25, it says, on no day will the gates will ever be shut, for there will be no night there. What is the light there? What is the glorious light of God is so great unto to what point? That the entire city does not need the light and does not need the sun or the moon. That is the glorious light of God will fill it. It's so great. And also it said, and there is no night there, and the glory is so great that the entire city of God, there's no darkness, no black there, no night there. Such a great light, and this light is filled with life. This light is filled with life. It's the light of life. Where is it? It is shining in our hearts, in our hearts. So strong, then our lowly life can become honored, and then our body, spirit, and soul can be changed into the glorious stature of Christ. This is Christ. He came to bring to us. And he says that Christ is our life. When he appears, we too would appear with him in glory. And he's saying that this glory must first be in us. Otherwise, when he comes, how can we also appear with him in glory? In Revelation, it says, when Christ comes, the kings of the world, the nobles, will hide themselves. They'll call out to the mountains, fall on us, fall on us. They want to hide from the glory from the Lamb, hide from the glory of the Lamb. So our fleshly life cannot stand that glory. When the light shines, and Paul saw it, and Paul became blind, and he was blind. How great is that light? And he just saw it for a while, and then his eyes become blind. Such a great light wants to shine in us, wants to change us. Change us, transform us. He wants to lead us into a spiritual realm, into a spiritual situation. Such a wonderful realm. We must live in more in this realm. Let us look at another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 12. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was giving me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, he said, that I may become conceited because of this surpassing great revelations. So I was given a thorn in my flesh. And he said, and even though this is a thorn from Satan as a messenger of Christ, And Paul asked God for many things, and God answered him. But in this matter, he asked God 3 times to remove this thorn, and God did not remove it. But God said that, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. If we have a new wineskin, we will have new concepts, new insights, new light inside of us, new thoughts. And Paul is one with the new wineskin. He knows that he is dead. He knows that he has died. So the things on the world are not important. He knows that God has said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power made perfect in weakness. So how does he respond? He responded saying that I want to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Any one of us like to be weak? We all like to be strong. And there is a joke I like to share with you. And then there was told me by a sister. And there is a group of animals. They gathered together, and they had a meeting. And they want to find out who is the greatest among them. So they said that the greatest animal must be able to run, and therefore they. And the eagle cannot run, so therefore it cannot be the greatest animal. And not only the animal can run, but also can fly. And therefore the lion cannot fly, therefore the lion and the tiger are disqualified. So in the end, what did they choose? What animal did they choose? What is the greatest among them? It is the duck. The duck. And the duck can run on the ground, and then you fly and will not fly very high. And it's a very ordinary duck, and that's the greatest animal. And when that sister told this joke to me, and I said, yes, I discovered that I'm just like a duck. I'm just like this. Many things I do not know very well, but I thank the Lord that He gave me very capable co-workers. In this area, I'm not capable, then God would compliment me with a much capable co-worker. And then I do not know how to play the piano very well, and God sent us many good pianists. And then I'm ignorant of the computer, and God sent us many brothers and sisters who are engineers, computer engineers among us. And cooking, I only know a few dishes. And God sent us many good cooks among brothers and sisters. And I truly feel I just like to boast about my own weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. When this sister shared with me this joke, and the more I felt it, the more I have thankfulness, thanksgiving in me. And just an ordinary duck. And God will use just a lowly, ordinary duck. And when I boast of my weaknesses, the power of God rests upon me. And what does it mean to boast of my weaknesses? And it is to acknowledge to God and say, God, I do not know. You know. You need to help me. This is boasting of my weaknesses. If you said that I do not boast, you said that I'm dumb, I do not know many things, then you're just living in your low self-esteem. You need to boast of your weaknesses. To boast of your weaknesses means that Jesus is my strength. He is my strength and shield. And that Christ will become my power. And the more you are weak, you discover that Christ Himself would manifest His great power in you. So Paul later on said that for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Paul is truly like this. You see, when he was locked up in prison in Philippi, when he was beaten half dead and locked up in prison, what did he do there? He sang hymns to the Lord. In the midnight, he was singing hymns to God. And all these persecutions and sufferings, he delighted in them. Why? Because at that time, He did not think of the things of the earth. He did not say that, Lord, I obeyed you. I came here and then I'm beaten. I wanted to use my Roman citizenship. You did not want me to use it. And now I'm beaten half dead. He did not complain. He did not complain. He just obeyed God. And delight in this Christ who is in heaven. And he praised and praised the Lord. And then there's a great thing that happened in the spirit. The earth was shaken. The doors of the prison were opened. And then the jailer and his whole family became Christians. Brothers and sisters, do not live in the old wineskins, but live in the new wineskins to be resurrected with Christ, to think of the things above. The things of the world are no longer important. If you are beaten and then you bleed, that's not important, but rather you delight in Christ. He did not complain, did not mumble, did not grumble. If you are not thinking of the things of the world, you would not grumble. If you're beaten, it's not important. And continue thinking of the things of God. And then the glorious power of Christ come upon him. And when he started to sing, and then in the spirit, it creates great power. So, when we are in Christ, we would enter into the realm of the spirit where there's great power there. So when Paul was in prison, and he's not just looking in the prison, but rather he's looking above the heaven, above the prison, the Christ that's above in heaven. And it's not that looking at the jailer, we're going to persecute and beat him, or that he's not asking for better treatment, but rather he sees the God that's above the jailer, who is in charge of everything. So when he was in prison, he did not say that, I am the prisoner of Caesar, or that I've been sent here by Felix. No, he said that, I'm a prisoner of Christ. I am a prisoner of Christ. That's what Paul said. And because of Christ, I'm willing to be in prison. I am in prison for the sake of Christ. It's not, Felix can lock me up or Caesar lock me up. He truly knows that my life has been hidden with Christ in God. And that his whole thoughts are the thoughts of heaven. So on his body, there's power. And you see, when he was the serpent wound around his hand and then bit him, and the poisonous snake, and did not cry out and just shook it off into the fire. And just shook it off. And you know that such a person is living in the heavenly realm. And then not only would be bitten by the snake, and when the snake just come out, we would have cried, ah! No, he did not. And then the snake wound itself across around his hand. He did not do anything. He just shook it off. And then in the spirit, there is power in the spirit. And then all the natives said that he must be a god. He must be a god. And then the gospel is spread. And so it is truly true. And Paul does not care for his physical life. Then the power of Christ is manifested on his body. If we truly know that we are dead, we're truly died, then in our body there will be great power. Often, we always say to ourselves, how can I die? I must be used. I must protect myself. I need to be loved. I want more people to love me. How can he be used more by God than me? We always pay attention to this. Our thoughts are always these things, and therefore we are weak, and therefore we do not have authority and power. When we think of the things of heaven, the power and authority would be great, would be truly great. Several months ago, God said to me, he wants to do surgery on me. He wants to operate on me. And then he wants me to speak the message of revival. And I said to the Lord, do not do a major surgery on me, Lord. Do not do a major surgery on me, Lord. And when I was waiting upon the Lord revealed in me, said to me that when and the operation, the surgery is to bring out the statue of Christ. And then we, the people on the earth, we go under the knife for plastic surgery, and there are so many side effects of that. And it's only temporary. But when Christ comes and operates on us, first, the benefits are that it's free, and also His surgery is fine and detailed, and everything works out for the best. Even though there is pain in the flesh, but there is joy in the spirit. Joy in the spirit. And anyone who can have long joy from the plastic surgery. And then even though we have a spot in our face, we and they do the acid burn to burn away our skin. And then after a year, the old spots come back again on our skin. It's such a short time only, and we are willing to bear with such pain. But children of God, do not be fear God's surgery. And the surgery of God, that we would be upright, that we would be have the image of the Son of God in us. This is necessary. This must come about. God, He, and so Paul understands this point. He truly understands this point. So he said that, and this insults, persecutions, hardships, he delights in them. Insults, he delights in the insults. How can he stand it? And we want to attack back. But Paul says that, I delight in these things. Why? Because these things all cause the stature of Christ grow and mature in Him. And so if we have this the new wine skin, then our definition of suffering would be different. And our suffering, we would think that suffering is glory, because the Bible tells us if we suffer with Him, we would be resurrected with Him. And so suffering is glory. And many of our outlook would be different. And when the light of God shines upon us, do we like to be God's light to shine upon us? Or do we feel like we lose faith? Or we are ashamed? Every time our lights, God's light shine on us, it's an opportunity for us to grow. When the light shines in my strongholds, the areas where I'm blind, in those areas I can grow. And secondly, also for confessing, repentance. Some people are afraid of repentance because they will be embarrassed and lose faith. But when we have the new wineskin, our new thoughts will be changed. Repentance is to proclaim that proclaim the judgment of Christ on the Satan, so that the power of Satan over us, when we repent, then ask Christ to judge this powers He has over us. Therefore, we are not longer afraid to repent. So when we are resurrected with Christ, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God, our thoughts, our concepts, our outlook, our value systems are all going to be different. This time, our church building and the God through this would lead us forward like last time. And then God, stage by stage, God has led us through the approval of the city council for our plans. And then also the neighborhood discussion meeting, God has done a great work there. 16 neighbors came to the meeting, And then the, many of them came with a long and sad face and were unhappy. And they just sat there. We prepared for them snacks and drinks. They did not want to eat or drink. They were just unhappy. But when they, all 16 left, they were all had smiles on their faces. God has done such a wonderful work. I remember that the night before the meeting of the neighborhood, we prayed for it. Every time I prayed that God, all those who oppose our building the church, bring them to our meeting. And then the two co-workers said to me, every time when you pray like this, I do not dare to amen. Why? Because if they came and these people oppose us and the questions they ask, we do not know how to answer them. Because we do not know these things. We're not experts in these areas. But I said to them, if they need to come, if they do not come, there are two more neighborhood meetings with the city council. If they come at that time, wouldn't it be worse? So they must come now. So they truly came. They came. But God has done such a wonderful work. When they stood up and they and opposed and asked questions, and when they asked their own questions, they answered their own questions. God has done such a wonderful work. And they'll ask this and ask that. But also, it's also okay. And they answer their own questions. And God has done such wonderful work. So the superintendent, the supervisor of the school, he has participated in so many neighborhood meetings. He has, he said that you are number one. You guys are number one. And then the whole neighborhood that came, they are full of smiles. And so many people support us. And you have received so many votes for you. So God has done such a great work. So every stage of the building of the church is a difficulty. Every hurdle is difficult. But every hurdle, God wants us to experience His resurrection life. So we can say with Christ, with Paul, say that, oh, we delight in these insults and persecutions and difficulties. All these things causes us to experience the great power of God. And so now we need to experience another thing, this big hurdle of the finances. So another hurdle we need to overcome is this great large amount of money. And but God also gave us words. God said what He wants is our brothers and sisters of our church to first love Him with all our strength and with all our might. Then God would open up the windows of heaven to pour out the richness that we may not even be able to hold. So God first wants us. So God first has given us all heavenly blessings to us, and He wants us to respond to His love. And God Himself would supply. And He wants us to see if we can respond to Him in to His love. So in the beginning, I remember that when we first won the bid to the land, I hoped that half the land would be divided to buy the land and to build houses for brothers and sisters to live there. And then later on, God prevented us from doing that because the houses that we built there would be very expensive and the cost would be very high. And we thought about selling it to other house developers. Then we only have to pay half the price. And so when we asked the Lord, and as the co-workers, the God answered us that do not buy, sell it. God wants to gain all the land. So there's great pressure. And every time I think of this large amount, it's like a heavenly large amount. Where are we going to get the money? In the beginning, I had a lot of worries. There was a great burden on me. I had to carry this burden. But God kept giving me His words, confirming His words. And then I know, understand God's heart, that all these difficulties to build up in us, to build up in a spiritual strength, to build up a spiritual stamina through every spiritual difficulty. So now, brothers and sisters, all know how to pray. And then the energy, the life energy of prayer is great. They can pray for so long. And then every day they can pray. And so many people are praying. So many people come to the prayer meeting of the church. And then like prayer meetings are like Sunday worship. So many people came. And God, through these difficulties, to bless us. He wants to bless us. So we need to have the heavenly concepts, heavenly thinking, to identify with God's will, and then identify with God's words, to preach His words. And according to God's will, we pray, then there's great power that results from that. And these couple of months, I have no worry about the finances. Why? It seemed like I understand now that when God keeps giving and confirming with His word, then your faith has been built up, and that God wants us to attack the city of Jericho, and He wants us to gain this beautiful land. And first, it must be built up into us, in us, so that we ourselves, we will have the resurrected life with Christ in us, the heavenly life, the heavenly value system. And then we would be rid of the earthly bondage on us. And then the heavenly value system, the heavenly life in us. And the first, God come and change our stamina so that we can receive this beautiful land. Through the ages, after Paul, God has raised up many Christians. Many of them were imprisoned. God allowed that to happen. God is not abusing His saints, but God's will. For example, John Bunyan, when he was locked up in prison for 12 years, he wrote a book that is the second bestseller in the whole world. And the first bestseller book in the whole world is the Bible. The second bestseller is The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. He said when he was in prison, it's the same if he were at home, same at peace and comfort, the same comfort as if he was at home, the same enjoyment and at peace as if he was at home. And he said that, and I just sat down and wrote and wrote and wrote, because the joy is driving me to write, and there's a great joy in me, pushing me, driving me forward to write. So the prison is like the palace to him. And it's not just him only. And same with John Newton. He said that if I do not see the beauty of Christ, the palace is like the prison. And if Christ is with me, the prison is like a palace to me. And the saints throughout the ages, God allowed that they would be in prison. Why? Because they would not be distracted by many people visiting them. Then in quietness, they can be with God, and they can hear the voice of God, and you can hear what I want you to write, so that you become a blessing to many people. That is the hand of God. If our thoughts are on the earth, who wants to be in prison? But if you know that you are died with Christ, and that you are hidden, your life is hidden with Christ in God, then whether in prison or whether in palace, it's no difference, because Christ is my home. I am being hidden with Christ in God. So such a person, they're living in such a realm, and there's great power that results from that. And God wants us to get us rid of this old wineskin, to know that I have been hidden with Christ in God, and thinking of the heavenly things of above. And you said that many things I have so busy with the things of the earth, I don't have time to think of the things above. What should I do? There is a way. And often pray in the Spirit. If you can, spend half an hour to pray in tongues, so that you may be easily enter into the Spirit, whether you are cooking or whether you're driving. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. And then when you pray in the tongues, you would leave the thinking of the earth. And then more, when you pray in tongues, easier to enter the Spirit realm. And then secondly, in all things, come before the Lord and pray. And then our church has many prayer opportunities. And then on Tuesday and on a Saturday, we have prayer meetings. The more you pray, the more you can enter the Spirit realm and to read the words of God and to proclaim the words of God and to use the words of God. And the more think of Him, respond to His words, and will help us to enter into the realm, into the realm of the Spirit. Lastly, I want to share with you a testimony. There was a preacher, and that he is a surgeon, and then he quit his job as a surgeon, and then dedicated his life to full-time service, and he served the Lord in a village, and his work did not result much progress. So one day he came out from his church, and he saw many people driving expensive cars on the road, and he felt very sad. And he's just driving an old, broken-down car. And then his ministry has not produced much fruit. And so when he entered in his car, he said to the Lord, he said, "Lord, I am a surgeon before. I can make a lot of money and then donate all this money to you. And now I come out and serve you. And it seems like I don't have much success. And other people are driving expensive cars and good cars. I'm driving such a broken down car. I have sacrificed so much for you, Lord." And when he prayed this way, all of a sudden Jesus showed himself before his windshield. And Jesus spoke to him. "Do never speak about your sacrifice. I died for you on the cross. That is sacrifice. Never speak of your sacrifice again." And he felt very ashamed. And in the Spirit, he fellowshiped with the Lord. And when he woke up from that, he discovered that he had driven 8 miles. He has driven 8 miles. And then it was a place where there are a lot of traffic. It's a heavy traffic city. And he's driven 8 miles. How did he drive that 8 miles? And he was 8 miles, he was in the Spirit. He was in the realm of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, in our last age, in the last time, is the time when the Holy Spirit pours down freely, that we can enter into the Spirit, even in the most dangerous time about driving, that God knows how to drive the car, that you will not hit other car, and it's so relaxed, and that you're not agitated in the time of traffic. God can control that. In every aspect of our life, we need to do our best and diligently and labor to enter into the Spirit. I have been hidden with you in Christ. You are the one that I love. Show me your beauty. Show me and me understand more of your passion for me, and then your will for me, your desire for me. Lord, what are you thinking? Lord, what are you thinking of? What are you feeling? Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, let me understand. The more fellowship with Him, the more understand His heart, then your life would be hidden with Christ in God. And the things that would happen, there would be wonderful things that would happen in your life. And you would be delivered from the dust of the world. And then the bondage of men on you, and the dust, the thinking of the dust, the dissension on the world. The words that hurt us, so more we are delivered from that, and more think of the words that God has said for me and His heart and desire for me. Then you will discover that Christ is our life, is truly our life. Our body, soul, and spirit would be renewed in Him. Let us stand and sing this hymn. Hymn 330. If you feel like you're agitated now, and then very dry, and no taste in your life, and you discover that you become alive again. If you say that you are dead, and you said, I am dead, your name, call out your name, said, I am dead. My life now is in Christ. And Christ is my life. My home is in heaven. That's where my thinking is. I came from heaven to earth. I'm here temporarily. Heaven is my home. Earth is not my home. And whatever causes you not be able to dance, and things that are covering over you, and then you say, and that is the old Adamic life is trying to become alive. You said that, no, you rebuke it. You said that, this life is dead. I am a prince from heaven. I am a princess from heaven. I want that life to be more alive in me. And Jerusalem, Jerusalem, O Lord, is built by you. And this author, his center is thinking of God. He wants God to build this new Jerusalem in them, in the church. Let us rise and sing this hymn. Jerusalem is built by you. Give to all those who seek you, Lord. Thank you. Thinking and concepts and the earthly value system, the earthly outlook, I want to enter into you. I want to be filled with the heavenly things, heavenly thoughts. I want to live with you. You can come up front. You can come up front now.